Had Dr. Thompson wanted to add this book, I was supposed to be doing Money Coming, but he changed it. And so we'll be receiving this book in about a week or so. Those that are watching by internet, you'll be receiving your book by mail. And it's called Spirit Life Training. So what I'm going to do until we receive the books, I'm going to be PDFing the chapters, and it'll be emailed to you, and it'll also be on the classroom portal for our classroom so you can download it. So those online, you'll be able to download this book. I'll have it up sometime tonight. But this particular book is going to rearrange. As you all know from last year, the paradigm is changing. God is reestablishing some things in our lives, that we're learning more about the apostolic, learning more about government. And just in my last class, which is the Alliance of Honorable Men, which you had, if you remember, one of the, in the first chapter, began to talk about how Jacob went 20 years. And after the first 20 years, he went through the 20 years trying to do things himself, trying to make things happen for himself. He already had the blessing from his father. But then for some strange reason, when he was wrestling with that angel and the angel touched his hip, threw his joint out, the first thing he asked him, will you bless me? I won't let you go till you bless me. Now, if you already have the blessing, why are you asking for the blessing? And so what actually Jacob was asking for was, he was asking to be empowered, because a lot of times we misuse the word blessing. We relegated and downgraded the word blessing to only reflect financial gain, abundant life. But the blessing, if we actually go back and really study it, it really means to empower. So the blessing is always purposed was to empower us to do what God had called us to do. So, but the blessing leads to financial gain, because when you seek first the kingdom of God and do it his way right, what it says, he'll add all those things to you. And so one of the things that God had to work on with Jacob, and which we're going to work on in this class, we're going to really work on it, is we're going to redefine what it means to be spiritual, what it means to operate in the supernatural. And we're going to start from scratch. We're going to start with things that you know already. Some of you may know it. You may not know it. You know that we're a tri-type being, how each part works with the other. And we're going to deal with those things. But my goal for this class is to eliminate the old paradigm thinking of what is spiritual. What we used to think somebody spiritual is somebody who's always at church, somebody who hollers out and prophesies in the middle of the service, somebody who lays hand on everybody they see, somebody who's always talking about the Bible, you know, somebody just into the spirit. Well, we're gonna start finding out that maybe that's not quite the criteria we should have. We start talking about being spiritual and operating in the supernatural. There's some other criteria that we're gonna have to look at. If you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. This is our foundational scripture for this first chapter. And Freddie, would you please let me know when we get to about maybe 25 minutes, if you could. Thank you, sir. 1 Thessalonians, fifth chapter. We're going to take our time to read this, because this is going to be a foundational. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And notice this is spirit training. I love the Holy Spirit, and I love the Father and Jesus, and he put us in this position, because I always have to go back to the beginning, because anytime you will understand how something was supposed to be, because how the earth is now is not how it's supposed to be. Can we agree with that? It's not how it's supposed to be. It was supposed to be Eden. All right? But Christ's redemption, him redeeming us, allow us to go back to Eden, how things are supposed to be in Eden. So in order to understand, you have to go back to the origins to understand what was supposed to be happening. And so when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they had every opportunity to be like God and to develop into who God wanted them to develop into. But the problem was, see, there was something lying dormant in man already, because all Satan did was told a lie. But it triggered something that was already lying dormant in man. And all Satan did was to enhance it. So obviously, it had to be a time before that Adam and Eve had stopped spending time with God already. For to even allow, because see, you got to realize, we think it happened in a matter of a day. Because that's how we read. We think it happened in a matter of a day that, you know, this is what happened. They woke up that morning and Eve saw the tree and Satan came. No. That tree had been sitting there, and that tree had been already tempted. And I promise you, God had probably told her, hey, Eve, you think you want to, but you really don't want to. But whenever he got God out of their ear, that's when Satan was able to gain their ear. So there was something already lying dormant in man, which means we have to begin to take responsibility and can't blame everything on Satan. See, now watch this. God later on in that chapter, and I think it was the third chapter, he said, he looked at the Holy Spirit, looked at Jesus, and he said, man has become as one of us. Wait a minute. I thought God had made us in his image. So why God would come back and say, man has become as one of us? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, watch this. Adam and Eve were always destined to be like God, but they chose to try to become like God without his input. Thus, we get spirit life training. God was training them to be like him. Is that God was going to tell them what evil was? Because they were going to have to face it. Why they were going to have to face it? Because look, watch this and listen to me. Eden was not all of the earth. It was only a small portion that God had recreated. Because he said, when he told them, you be fruitful and multiply, what was supposed to happen is they were supposed to learn, take what they learned. Take what they learned, take from who they learned, and take seed, and then go out into the darkness and begin to speak everything into existence. See, that Eden was just a small portion. See, God didn't want to, he didn't want to do all the work. He wanted to give us the ability to recreate and do things. See, how you know where it was Eden was a small part of earth? Very simple. Because they had to go somewhere when he expelled them from the garden. Are you seeing this? So they were supposed to be training how to live this supernatural life. But yet they got the training from the wrong place. So now, because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, now we have an opportunity to begin to train our spirits in the right way. And what religion has done and denominations has done is they have put criteria on what is spiritual and what is not. And so now we have been following that criteria, which has allowed sin to sneak in, because I know a lot of tongue-talking people that prophesy in church ain't living right. You see, I know a lot of people who appear to be spiritual, but they ain't talking to their wives right. They ain't talking to their husbands right. They're not treating their children right. But yet, in the public eye, they seem to be the prototypical spiritual person. See, but we forget that God is omnipresent and he's everywhere. So what we're aiming to do in this class is we're aiming to reorganize our thoughts on this. And in reorganizing our thoughts, we'll be able to reorganize our behavior. And as we reorganize our behavior, we'll be able to reorganize how we act. And how we act going to produce certain results. So we're going to start from scratch, spirit, soul, and body. We're going to break this thing down. And we'll begin to find out that God wants to do things with us that we never dreamed about. You know, long before there was ever email, there was God. Before anybody ever began to dream about teleportation, there was God. God was able to take a man from one place and put him in another. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was no more. That means God, he didn't die. He was transported into another realm. See, Philip was transported. We're going to see this chart. Philip was transported into another realm. See, there are things that God wants to do through us that will boggle the human mind, but we have to understand we have to redefine what is spiritual. And we have to redefine what we think is the supernatural. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you how? Holy. And I pray, that means he's setting you, watch this, and the very God of wholeness. What's peace mean? Wholeness, the very God of wholeness sanctify you or set you apart holy. All right. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul is talking about the beginning of training of the spirit. Because he said, sanctify, set apart your spirit, soul, and body. So that means that even though, watch this, even though that man has a sin nature, there is a possibility and it's possible for that sin nature to be dealt with and your body be in total cooperation with your spirit. So that means now that statement that your flesh ain't no good is a lie. Because if my flesh is no good, why God keep talking to me by doing things in the earth realm? Why God keep touching me and telling me and anointing me and giving me a grace to do what he's called me to do if my body ain't no good? Are you seeing this? So therefore, I have to get my spirit right. I get my spirit right. Then my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my intellect, has to follow. That leads me. We know this, but it's good bearing repeating. It's good to know. You are a tri-type being. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. That means that when I allow my spirit to take control, that means my mind and my body has to follow. But my mind and my body ain't going to follow if I don't make my mind and my body follow. Are you seeing this? Here, watch this. Paul says this. Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. In other words, God is going to make the provisions. He's going to make the opportunity. He's going to give you the ability to separate yourself. To separate yourself from what the world system say you can't do. To separate you from what the world system say you cannot happen in your life. He said, God is going to sanctify you. How? Holy. Everything. That means your spirit going to be separated, your mind going to be separated, and your body is going to be separated. So that, watch this. That means because Christ died on the cross and he redeemed us from the curse of the law, that means our spirit now has access to our Father again. Our minds can know the thoughts of God, and our body can perform the works of God. Are you seeing this? See, so as we redefine what is spiritual, you know, no longer is spiritual somebody who simply don't cuss. You know, that's wonderful. I don't condone it. I don't practice it. But that don't mean you're spiritual. You know, you don't drink. That means you only preparing the way to be spiritual. When you become spiritual is when your daily walk with God has your full attention and he can do what he wants with you, when he wants with you, and how he wants to do it. Now watch this. He said, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Wait a minute. So now I'm not responsible for trying to be spiritual. All I got to do is yield and allow him to train me. And once he trained me, he's going to give me the power to do what he's trained me to do. Are you seeing this? See, we definitely don't have the ability to be spiritual by ourselves. Matter of fact, only the Holy Spirit That's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11. Only the Spirit knows what's inside the spirit, what's inside the mind of God. Because the Bible says only a man, spirit of a man knows what's inside of a man, save that man himself. So just like that, only the Spirit of God knows what's inside the mind of God. So watch this. We cannot even get into the supernatural without the Holy Spirit's escort. You know, a lot of people sometimes, people who study the mind, people who study psychology, a lot of them sometimes get off their rock a little bit. And the reason why they do is because they begin to dab into the spirit world without an escort. Yes, yes, yes. They begin to walk over into another realm without an escort. And stuff is moving so fast in the supernatural that if you do not have an escort, you will get lost and can't find your way back. You need the Holy Spirit. So that's why the Holy Spirit, that's why Jesus said, I got to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Because if the Holy Spirit don't come, ain't nobody going to be able to train you on how to walk in the supernatural. Ain't nobody going to be able to train you how to be spiritual. Because the very Spirit of God is the one that can train you how to cooperate with God himself. Are you seeing this? Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. We got about 5 more minutes. I'm going to close with this scripture. It is a little warm in here. Romans, the 12th chapter. Well, before we go to Romans, the 12th chapter, go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 4th chapter, I meant to say. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, you must allow God to keep your beings separate but cooperative. You must be able to recognize, is this my spirit talking? Is this my soul talking? Or is this my flesh talking? Because if you can't decipher between the voices, then sometimes you're going to be following your soul. Sometimes you're going to be following your flesh, thinking you're following your spirit. All right? Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. Now watch this. It's very clear. For the word of God is alive, quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So who is this two-edged sword? The word. The word. So the foundation for being spiritual is 1 Timothy 2:15. Study. To show thyself approved, a workman approved, not needing to be in a shame. You see, are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Studying the word of God. Being an avid reader of the word of God. Not just an avid reader of the word of God, but allowing the Holy Spirit to get involved with your thoughts as you're reading the word of God. A book that I'm sorry that you are not going to get this year, but you can come back and get it next year, is Living by the Book. I recommend you, highly recommend you all get this book. Living by the Book with Hendricks. If you hadn't got it, get it. Because this gentleman puts into, Thompson is going to be teaching it to the first year. But you need to get your hands on this book, because this book will help you constructively read the Word of God. Because a lot of times we read the Word of God and we read it from our Western Hemisphere mentality. What I mean by Western Hemisphere, we read it because of our culture. And the Bible wasn't written in our culture. It was written in a Jewish and Hebrew culture. So, in other words, you're going to have to put yourself in that place. What was Paul saying? Why was Paul saying this? Who was Paul talking to? Why was Paul addressing this? Are you seeing it? Because, see, we get a scripture like, if you don't work, you don't eat. And then we don't realize who Paul was talking to and why he was saying what he was saying. So therefore, if you don't understand who Paul was talking to and why he was saying what he's saying, then whenever you try to understand it, you're going to understand it from an incorrect foundation. Are you seeing this? So the Word of God has to be the foundation for being spiritual. It has to be the foundation. If it's not the foundation, God's Word has to be the foundation for being spiritual. Why? Because the Word of God is the thing that's going to keep your spirit separated from your mind separated from your flesh separated from your spirit, and all the above, so that you can easily decipher where is this voice coming from. Is this God speaking to me? Or is this my soul wanting to do this on my own? Or is this a good idea? Or is my flesh just being lazy and want to find another way to do it besides how God wants to do it? See, the Word of God has to be the basis for that. Last scripture, Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter, in the very first verse, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is Paul talking to the Romans, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That brings me to mind the scripture, John 15:3. Now you are clean through the words I have spoken to you. When you make your body a living sacrifice, your body has now come into cooperation with your spirit. When you present your body to God and say, God, this is your house. I'm only going to do what you want me to do with this house. Sin, you have no right to be here. Sin, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for when you're trying to sneak in on me. Because I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, which means, see, what it means to be a living sacrifice, you have to cut away some things in your life, some wills, some desires, some things you thought you wanted to do, some things you thought God called you to do. You have to cut those things off because those are just back doors for sin to creep in. Are you seeing this? So when I present my body as a living sacrifice, I'm giving God a right to circumcise everything from me that will cause me not to be suitable for his use. Are you seeing this? So that means sometimes it might be what we have quoted as being a spiritual thing. Thank you, sir. As a spiritual thing. It might be what we thought we were being spiritual. God say, stop doing that. Don't do that no more. And you'd be like, well, man, I thought I was doing good. I thought reading this particular chapter or reading this particular book was helping me. And God said, no, read this or change this. Are you seeing this? So now if you can't get offended because God has just circumcised you. Because remember, we're in training. We don't know how to be spiritual. The only definition of spiritual we had is what man has said was spiritual. The paradigm is shifting. So now we have to understand what God has meant by being spiritual. Are you seeing this? Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For watch this. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exalteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that show mercy with cheerfulness. So that last part is talking about the actual performing of what we've done in verse 1 and 2. Are you seeing this? So when the prophesying come in, and all that come in after we have become a living sacrifice, we're being trained, we're under training, we're in training, and after we have renewed our mind. So once we've done those things, the flesh has to follow to perform what God has called us to do. So ain't nothing spiritual until we have been circumcised and until we've had our mind renewed and we're training about the supernatural. And when God tells us to do something and he calls us to do it, when we do it, that's when we're walking in the Spirit. Are you seeing this? So here it is. He says, I beseech you, brother, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And watch this. Which is your reasonable, that's the least you can do. After all God has done for you, the least you can do is just say, God, use me like you want to use me. Cut away what you want to cut away. Add on what you want to add on. I do whatever you ask me to do. I do it how you ask me to do it. I do it when you tell me to do it. Train me how to be like you. Are you seeing this? Train me how to be like you. That's what this class is going to be all about. Redefining what it is to be spiritual. And getting rid of all of our man-made ideas of what being spiritual is all about. You're going to find that some people you thought were spiritual ain't really spiritual. They're just putting on a show. They're just Hollywood. They're just trying to be seen. All right? So thank you all so much. We'll be back at this in our class next week. I'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great night.